Today I'm going to continue sharing a little bit more on positioning yourself to receive healing. I'm going to be sharing about walking in forgiveness. And, you know, one of the things, and we can look at 1 John as we open this lesson up, at 1 John 3:14, and, you know, when we talk about forgiveness, we're really just talking about operating in the God kind of love, forgiving people, walking in love, right? So 1 John 3:14 in the King James, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto what? Life, because we what? Love. We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." So one of the things you cannot love, I'm not talking about phileo or the natural love, but I'm talking about the God kind of love. It says we passed from death unto life, and it says because of that we can love the brethren. So that means you cannot love with the God kind of love unless you're born again, unless you've passed out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You can't love. You may love naturally, but the agape kind of love, you can't do it. It's not possible. 1 John 4:7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that what? Loveth is born of God." Everyone that word loveth is an action, agapeo. It means everyone that loves with the love of God is born of God. So that's this the word, right? This says you cannot love with the love of God unless you've been born again. It's not possible. And we know that. And so because of that, and then it goes on, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And we know from John 13:34-35, he's given us a new commandment. Because now we're in his kingdom, now he's given us what? We have new kingdom principles, new obligations, you could say. New commands, because we have a new master. We have a new father. He said what? "That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are a Democrat or a Republican." No, it says here, when you love, he said, "As I have loved, they'll know you are one of mine. You'll know you're my disciples, followers of me, if you have love one to another." Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 in Romans chapter 5 in the King James. It says, "Therefore, being justified or made right with God," how? "By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also," by Christ, "we have," what? "Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience," or you could say endurance, "and patience experience, and experience hope." Now look at verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because," why? "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." God has, by his Spirit, has shed his love abroad, where? In this new man. That's what it says. I'm a new creature. I'm a new man in Christ. And he has shed his very nature, his love. God is love. He has shed his very nature abroad in my heart. So that means I can love like him. You may not want to, but you can. See, and that's the point. A lot of people don't want to. I like what Brother Hagin said, you know, and he said, you know, if you don't love, you're a murderer. And so he said, it's not about what he said, some people said, well, I just can't love that person. He said, no, you can. He said, here's how you do. He said, you act as if you did love them. Act as if you did. So you can love. Amen. You just don't want to. Amen. Now listen to this. These are some translations here. I like this. This is the Jordan translation, J-O-R-D-A-N. For God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Spirit he provided us. God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. This is the Blackwelder translation. It says, God, and this is Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. It's at work in us, if we'll yield and let it. Glory to God. So, He has filled, this is the Johnson translation, or it's a paraphrase, God's love fills our inner being through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So he has shed abroad, as the King James says, he has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. This word, shed abroad, in the King James, denotes a dispersing, or a shedding abroad, it says, a pouring forth is really what it means. Pouring forth his love in our hearts. So when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, God by his Spirit releases, it says here, a river of divine love in our hearts and causes us to be supernaturally long-suffering towards a person or a situation that frustrates you. But you've got to do we spent a couple lessons talking about. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who does what? Giveth liberally and upbraideth not. But let him do what? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is what? Is like a wave of the sea tossed. And so we need to do what? Ask. Ask God, help me here. Help me supernaturally. Help me with the supernatural love of God to love like you loved. That's going to be the key in this world today. We can see it, the hatred and the anger. It's the love of God that's going to shine forth. Glory to God. And we know from Galatians 5:6, what does it say? Faith worketh by love. It works by love. So something that got me to thinking here when we talk about forgiveness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And I just want to focus on this one piece. You know, we've shared this. What you think about, and you keep meditating on it long enough, what you think about is ultimately what you will end up believing. And what you believe will be what you will start saying and confessing and doing what? Acting out. So 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, it's in the King James, it says, doth not, this is love now, love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. What does it say? Thinketh. Oh, thinketh no evil. Now, the Amplified in that verse, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account, see, this is thinketh no evil. It takes no account of what? The evil done to it, it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. You know, if you're dead, you're not affected by stuff, are you? Nothing affects you. You did. So what is the scripture say in Galatians 2:20? We are no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So this word thinketh means to compute or calculate or to take into account. It's an accounting term. So it literally means to be like a bookkeeper. It means the offended person is taking an account. They're keeping a record of every little thing you did wrong to them, right? So rather than forgive and let it go, the offended person is keeping a record. And that's what we're not to do. Think no evil, not to keep an account of things done to us. If we want to know how agape love operates, this is it here. Paul received revelation how the love of God is manifest, how it operates, what it looks like. And so when we want to look at how God is, think about this, Psalm 103 and verse 3. If we want to know how agape love looks like, look at Psalm 103 and verse 3. What does it say? Who forgiveth what? Some. No, all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. He's not holding a record, right? Then look at verse 10. Of Psalm 103. It says, he hath not what? Dealt with us after our sins. He's not keeping a record of it. He didn't deal with us with it, right? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Then look at verse 12 of that same chapter. It says, as far as what? The east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's how love should be. And so we're going to look at this real briefly. Let's look at Mark 11:23 and 24 and 25. We're going to look at this in light of walking in forgiveness and how it affects, you know, we're talking about positioning yourself to receive healing from God. One of the ways that you can position yourself to receive healing from God and stay in that flow is walking in the love of God, forgiving those who have offended you. Not holding a grudge is another way of putting it, right? So let's look at Mark 11:23, 24 and 25. It says, for verily I say unto you that what? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, this is all talking about faith now, having the faith of God. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Well, would healing be something that would be something to desire? Absolutely. And when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, do what? Forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Yeah. And I believe it goes on, doesn't it? What does it say? What's verse 26 say? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. Ouch. So it ain't worth holding on to a grudge, is it? It's not worth not forgiving. Because this says here, if you don't... Now think about this now. When we talk about not forgiving, right? This is all in the same context of verse 22 where it says, have the faith of God. So this means here, think about the other scripture in Hebrews 11:6. What does that say? It says, he that what? It without for without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, and he is what? A rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek him. So this means here that if you are not forgiving, you're not operating in faith. Thus, you're not pleasing God. So we must forgive, because ultimately it will affect our health. Now, we're not talking about... Now, let me go on here. This is the verse 25 of the New International Version. It says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So if you're holding anything against anyone, let it go. Why? So your Father in heaven may forgive you. We already said, what do we got done reading in Psalm 103. He hath not dealt with us after our own sins. So, yeah. So, the Passion Translation in verse 25. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you. Ooh. And forgive you of your faults. So, you know, when you're holding something against someone, they're bound. You need to release them and say, Father, forgive them for what they did. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So they may not even know. I mean, I think sometimes we think it doesn't also mean that if somebody offended you, the scripture also says if your brother offends you, go to them. So it doesn't mean you can't go to someone in love and ask for forgiveness or talk about something. Doesn't mean that also. But this says here, we're to forgive. We're to let it go. We've all missed it. We've all done things and said things that we shouldn't have. But when God reveals it, just say, Father, forgive me. I don't hold that against that person. Release them. Forgive them. I didn't know what I was doing. My mind was not right thinking there. Now, I'm going to read this. It's the Johnson paraphrase in verse 25. This is a very interesting, it's a paraphrase in verse 25. It says, when you are making these statements which spring from your innermost being, forgive any person against whom you have a grudge so that your desires don't get ensnared by your grudges. Ooh. When you forgive others, your Father will forgive you and your relationship with Him will be positive. Meditate on that a little bit. It says here, forgive any person against whom you have a grudge so that your desires don't get ensnared by your grudges. What does that mean? The thing that you desire. Remember what we're looking at? What things soever ye desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have them. Well, and then it says, and when you stand praying, do what? Forgive if you have aught against any. Well, you don't want to have your desire hindered or ensnared by your grudge. So that means if you've got something going on, and I'm not talking about dredging up stuff, I'm talking about we all know. We're a spirit, and we know here. You know, when you growing up as a kid, you go, I shouldn't have done that. You knew when you did something or said something that you shouldn't have said or done. You just knew it. That's what I'm talking about. Your innermost being, that's what it's saying here. When you are making these statements which spring from your innermost being, you know. So forgive so that your Father will forgive you. Let's look at Psalm 68:18. Psalm 68:18. We can look at it in the King James. This flows right into the same thing. It says, if I regard iniquity, I'm sorry, 66:18. I said 68. I'm seeing an 8, should be a 6. Psalm 66, I'm sorry, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Yeah. So we don't want to find ourselves there, do we? I mean, look, what is Matthew 6? In verse 14 and 15, it says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we need to be conscious of the fact by forgiving, we position ourselves to receive from God. We position ourselves, or another way, if we don't forgive, you're out of position to receive the blessings of God. You're out of position to receive from God. It says here, if you don't forgive, neither will He. So let me look at one last scripture here in Ephesians chapter 3. And Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3:17. And this great prayer here, and it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So the roots of our faith, let me read this from some other translations, the Laubach, it says, I pray that the roots of your faith may grow deep in the ground of his love. So the roots of our faith can be affected by what? Unforgiveness. So we need to think about that. God's Word translation, it says, then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. So the roots of our faith sink down into the foundation of God's love. Where is God's love shed abroad in our hearts? So we can forgive. Let me just make this statement in closing. Brother Hagin, as he completed his, you know, I'd say his ministry, 66 years, I think it was, 66, 67 years, before he passed in 2003, his last sermons, he focused on the love of God. And this was one of the things that he shared. He said, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He said three things would happen if you begin to feed upon the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 13 and act upon it. He said, number one, you will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily because you choose to operate in the love of God. Number two, he said, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. What does James 4 say? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Do what? Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Then it goes on, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and do what? Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You got to keep your hearts pure. And number three, he said, this is the third point, he said, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you have been believing for will come. So we need to do what? Number one, we need to acknowledge that the love of God is in us and that we're going to do what? Decide to walk in love. So that what? We don't hinder the blessings of God. So that those things that we desire don't get ensnared in our grudges, in our unforgiveness. So God desires and has given us the ability to walk in love. You know, it'd be one thing if he said, praise the Lord, do the best you can. But he didn't. He gave us his Spirit, who has shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. He's given us his word. He's given us his name. He's given us the blood of Jesus to confront the evils in this earth. So we're going to choose to walk in the love of God, right? I'm just going to read this from the Amplified, verse 4 and 5 and 6, 7 and 8. It says, love endures long and is what? Patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. See, this is our thinking changing, believing the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. And as for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be what? Superseded by truth. Glory to God. So let's make that profession of faith. I choose to walk in love. And say it this way. I walk in love. So Satan, take your hands off my body. Take your hands off my finances. Take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my children. Because I walk in love. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And remember that as you go through life, if you know your heart's clear, you can stand up to the devil and say, no. I walk in love. So I resist you because I'm submitted. See, when it says submit yourself therefore to God, I'm submitted to love. God is love. So when I submit myself to love, I can resist the devil. And I say, no, you leave me. Leave my presence. Leave this. Leave my finances. Leave my family. I walk in love. And I resist you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are greater in us than anything that we face in life. And we thank you that the love of God is greater than any hatred or any trial or tribulation that we face. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you're revealing to us in a greater measure that we can and we do walk in the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. And just before we receive our offering, if you're here today or you're watching online and you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart, just say this simple prayer, and you want to. Father God, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He took my sins to hell. And I believe that on the third day, that when sin was paid for, the Scripture says we were raised with Christ from the dead. And so, Father, I believe that He was raised from the dead. I also was raised from the dead to new life. And I receive Christ into my heart as my Savior. I thank you that I am born again. I am a brand new creature in Christ, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you said that prayer and you never said that before, give us an email or contact us by mail or phone and let us know you've become a brand new person in Christ, in Jesus' name. Glory to God.